Today we have no guests, so we are just going to have a knowledge chat with all of us. But let's begin with an introduction. What are we here for? We're here for the Nas Jam sessions every Thursday, 9 p.m. At the same time, we're here to just give an update from the... we're here to hear from the Nas DAO community about what's happening over at Nas DAO, what people are working on Nas DAO. And yeah, we're going to play some little games here. We're going to play some Nali trivia today. We have prizes to give away today. We also have a 0.069 prize to give away if you retweet the room. So let's retweet the room so that we can get more people here. To retweet the room, you go into the lower chat bubble, just down there in the bottom right, and you can comment. So those of you who have questions about Nas DAO or anything, at the same time, you can retweet the room to have a chance to win 0.069 thanks to Nas DAO, sponsored to, brought to you by Nas DAO. Going to be a great evening. Just so you guys know, we have no guests, so really this is a community chat, what everyone has been up to. I see Ricky's in the audience. Jack D was with us this week as he played some Nali trivia. So just going to chat like what's been going on, what's the update really. Yes, Darryl, how's your week? How have you been?
It's mostly been work, but I'm definitely excited to talk about what's been going on. We've been trying to chat in the group, and it sounds like there's some exciting things happening, so looking forward to that. Yeah, other than that,
I love that.
Way too much work.
Love that. Nas DAO never sleeps. Brett, how has your week been?
Oh, man, I've been busy. So, setting up for ETH Denver. So, yeah, we're trying to get everything finalized for next week. We've got 325 RSVPs, so quite a bit of people interested. Yeah, and on top of that, I've just been working on some animation stuff, figuring out how to animate some waves right now for surfing.
Oh, that's amazing. I talked to Cooper yesterday, and he told me he's going to ETH Denver, so I wanted to get you guys in touch that in case you guys want to link up with him or he links up with the Nali crew over at ETH Denver. I'll be sending him your deets so that, we could turn that part into something. And it's actually something I realize our next jam session is going to be at ETH Denver, isn't it?
Yeah, next week.
Oh, beautiful. That's why today we are keeping it chill so that next week I will blow it out of the water, keeping that live. Yes. So, Gami, before I get into this, I see you're on. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good, thanks, man. I've been up late and up early every day doing Twitter spaces and calls, so I'm a bit wrecked. But glad to be here. There's a couple of things I learnt about last night that I want to share with you guys soon, but I won't interrupt yet. Let you keep going.
Sorry, I got a bit. I don't know why I'm rugging. I didn't hear what
that's
you said
good.
There, Dan.
I was just saying it's been a big week, but with talk of gas, it reminded me I learned about some stuff that I've been chatting with Rocketman and Sasquatch about overnight that I think is relevant with the launch of Base just in the last 12 hours. So I'll give you guys some insights when there's time. But I won't interrupt yet.
I mean, we could start with that as we try to figure out. I don't know why 7 hours. Man, where is the Rocket Man when you need him?
It's all good. These things happen. I've noticed that's been a big, and big obstacle for a platform when it's a lot of low price items and we're trying to stick to a schedule. Obviously, gas prices can be pretty painful. But there's an opportunity in the loom at the moment. Obviously, we've all got a connection with the likes of Zora and Nouns, and a lot of Nouners and Zora employees are early Coinbase employees. So there's a good affinity across ecosystem. And it was, I sort of heard a fair while ago or recently that they were going to release a layer 2 platform. Base was announced last night my time. For anyone that doesn't know, it's essentially a Ethereum layer 2 that is built on the Optimism tech stack. And that might seem just like, another hurdle for everyone to get over, but there's a key difference here where basically the might of Coinbase and then the decentralized contributors of Optimism and Ethereum are all going to be working together to make the sort of interchain world a lot more smooth and seamless. So I know that Rocketman is and team are looking into the potential of using Base as a platform for the Revolution protocol, just because of how easily it's going to interface with Ethereum. Obviously much more efficient to use at this sort of scale, and then obviously much more opportunity to grow and onboard people because of, you know, Coinbase's 100 million users or whatever they've got. And, you know, on Ethereum, we only have about 2 million active users. So there's a lot of opportunities here for really for developers to, you know, take things to the next level and reach more people and bring together all the blockchains in an interesting way that it's actually, I think, going to be a bit of a rising tide that lifts all boats and could be another catalyst for hopefully a bull market.
Gamma, do you know how the base L2 works? Is it like Polygon? For this last night, I didn't read much into it.
It's similar to Polygon in certain ways, but the core difference is with Polygon, it's distinctly you could think of it more like a side chain. Like it's based on EVM, which is, you know, the same virtual machine. If you think of Ethereum like a computer, it functions the same way. But you always have to bridge across to it, and they have to have their own native token and all this sort of stuff. But something like Optimism, which is the tech stack used for Base, is a roll-up. So it's a type of layer two that's, like, without going into the tech detail, it's just much more tightly integrated and native. And with Base, they don't even need to have their own token because they can essentially roll everything up, make it super efficient, and then use the security of the Ethereum blockchain, which is where everything settles. But as a user of layer two like Base, it's basically just like lightning fast, basically free to use and all that stuff, but with all the benefits of Ethereum. And then, you know, I think like platforms like Polygon and that obviously have their place, but this is a pretty big move from Optimism and Coinbase. And there's also a consortium of about, I think, around 50 different projects, or quite major projects, including biggest stablecoins and stuff, who will very likely Base going forward as their main, you know, place for recording their state and data and all that sort of stuff. And then you'll get the everything settling on Ethereum. So best case scenario.
So how fast can we move, let's say, a platform like that Snarly to go on the Base rails? Is it something that can be done soon so that we can stop paying these guys?
Yeah, what you'll see with teams like Coinbase, you know, they've got some of the most powerful developer teams in the whole industry, and they're very focused on developer tooling. So what you'll see is you'll end up seeing, like, similar to how people in the past had to, like, bridge to another chain, that kind of activity will be abstracted away. So you'll hardly even notice when you're going onto this other layer. As things progress, obviously at first it's not going to be that smooth. But when it comes to contracts, you'll see a very similar experience for developers where they can essentially click a few buttons and migrate contracts over to a layer two like Base. So, you know, like, say for Nouns or Nas DAO, like, it makes sense to stay on Ethereum because, you know, it's the foundation of all these things. But when it comes to, like, the app layer and more interactions from users more regularly at a greater scale and a much lower cost, like, this move from Coinbase is a really big one in terms of layer twos on Ethereum. You know, there's competing platforms like Arbitrum are probably going to see a bit of struggle after this. And of course, the developer community around Optimism is very closely aligned with the core Ethereum developer community, you know, very like to the you know, founders and core contributors being, you know, some of them being co-founders of Ethereum and stuff like that. So it's really it's a massive power move, and like, it's hard to really speculate on it at the moment, but in the coming days you'll start to see I guess some timelines around when they'll move from testnet to mainnet, and then after that it's anyone's guess what happens. But you could think of it similar to how Binance had BSC, the Binance Smart Chain, except, you know, like way more decentralized, like way more focus on developers, less focus on, you know, quick flip, short-term, low-value stuff, and more focus on incubating an ecosystem, especially when you've got a big public company that are supporting it. And, you know, you'll likely see all sorts of ecosystem funds. You'll see lots of, you know, money available to builders and existing communities. And I think that it's going to be a good thing. It's just a matter of sort of paying attention. And it's awesome to know that people like Rocketman and other developers that I work with are well aware of this stuff, and it looks like a really good opportunity for that Snarly in particular.
Love that. For those who don't know, Gami made a cameo in a Coinbase ad, so you may wonder why he's shilling Coinbase here. But how did that come about? Can you talk about the story of how you featured the Coinbase ad?
For sure. That was actually because of Mr. Seeks. So if you guys, obviously the NAS community are familiar with Mr. Seeks, done a bunch of cool animation for NAS, and he's a good friend of mine in real life and all that sort of stuff. For those who don't know, he's a 2D animator, only like 24 years old and just crushing it. He works for a studio called Never Sit Still, and one of Never Sit Still's main clients, despite being based here in Sydney, one of their main clients is Coinbase. Yeah, they were doing an animation for the Coinbase developer platform, and there was, a section of the animation that included some NFT references. And yeah, Mr. Seeks thought, well, Noun should go in there, and he thought, why not chuck Noun189 in there? And so there's an ad for Coinbase, and yeah, my Noun pops up and appears in it, and some noggles and stuff like that. So even the NAS hand symbol appears in the ad, which is so cool. It's like my Noun throws up the horns. It's so cool. When he showed me, I was blown away. I'll find the link to it, and I think if you search on Twitter my username and then like Coinbased, I think it comes up.
Coinbased, yeah.
I'll search it and I'll share it. So anyone can see.
I love how, one thing that stood out to me when that ad came out is that most of the Nounish artists, I would say, especially artists who have been Noun-pilled, they usually use the noggles, the culture that we have here, in art that goes into other things. So I wouldn't be shocked, like over the years, you just see Noun's glasses pop up in different spots, different places, which has not been paid for, which is not paid for by Noun. So it's an interesting way to see how the brand is leveraged by artists to pray for it. And it just looks cool. I mean, I'm just thinking, if I was a client and these glasses came on, this character wearing these glasses, I wouldn't mind. And I don't know if clients find that to be like a brand, I don't know, distortion or something.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's all, there's this documentary that I love to watch called Everything's a Remix. And, when people are criticizing others of like, oh, that's not an original idea, you just got to remind yourself that there are no original ideas. Everything's a reference of something else. And I actually think it's like really cool when companies, reference the culture and the space that they serve, because it really does speak to people. And, it's just a little fun thing, but it's something to be proud of, to have, even been recognized in such a way. And yeah, crazy to see the little gnarly, the 8 pixels making up the little horns appearing in the way they did. So yeah, it's cool. I just retweeted, the appearance, on the NAS DAO account, and just shared it with you on Discord if you wanted to pin it.
I love that. I do see we have, I'm waiting for someone who say, there's a person who was with us here yesterday, wanted to come on and play the Gnarly Trivia today. So once they show up, we'll get that cracking. I think it was Skater. Skater, yeah, I remember it was called Skater. Skater wanted to play the Gnarly Trivia. He was out here. It was a two-man team yesterday, but hopefully today he'll be able to join us and we can play the Gnarly Trivia. Like I said, I do see we have only 5-7 retweets and we have 18 people. So if we can refit the room, so that we can get above that 10 retweet limit for the retweet ticker to work. We're giving away 2 prizes today, 0.069 ETH, hanging out with us. And Gami, I wanted to chat a bit about our upcoming proposal, because there's something that you posted about that Snarly and activating that Snarly, this idea that you had posted in Discord. You want to shout more about that? Like, how does it work? How can we make it worthwhile?
Yeah, sure. I haven't yet started collaborating on this with community. It was just an idea that I had the other day. So we obviously had extremely Nounish proposal 189 to Nouns, which was just defeated. It was by one voter made the difference, but it was the biggest turnout in Nouns' history of voters, which was cool. obviously there's a little bit of controversy around it, but that's all been settled now.
That's under the water now.
Worked hard to repair a couple of relationships and stuff. But the main thing is, you know, you make mistakes, you learn from them, and you pick yourself back up. And I think in the community, we've been discussing, you know, a reiteration of this proposal, where originally the idea was to scale out, you know, what happened in Brazil with the giant noggles, going all around the world doing events and then promoting it through hashtags on social media and encouraging people to submit content to That's Gnarly. And then, of course, from there we could curate and determine, like, people to get bonus prizes and collect the moments and then bring it all together in a compilation. Just as, you know, I set up this skateboard shop the other day with Board Pusher, who have been kind enough to help us out for the meetup in East Denver with some custom boards and stuff. So shout out to Board Pusher and Brett for sorting that out.
That was beautiful.
Oh, so cool. But going through the process of setting that up, it's like when you want to get the good quality boards, you know, the best materials for skateboards, you know, you need Canadian maple, and it's got to be good stuff, and it needs to be pressed in, you know, a reputable manufacturer, and then the printing as well has to be good, because if it's dodgy printing, it can affect the performance of the board as well. So there's like a lot of things at play, and you want to find a supplier that has like all the great sizes that everyone's used to riding. And Board Pusher definitely provide that, but being based in the US, it's prohibitively expensive to ship boards around the world for certain countries. So like if you're paying $69 for a board and then having to pay $80 in shipping, it's just not gonna work. So it got me thinking more about, like, how can we activate people and scale out this idea of what happened in Rio with Prosser 15 and do it in such a way where we don't have so many hurdles to jump over, like so much friction, you know, like getting boards out to people, materials, merch, finding a manufacturer to design and build a sculpture, potentially having to get like permission from councils and stuff to have these events. And it just starts to get like quite hectic. Did some rough estimations and I was thinking, like, you know what, it might be the wrong path. Maybe we should try something else first. And the idea I had was just like, I was using this this new AR filter that was like AI powered, and it was just this like test app that I tried out, and you could point it at things out in the street and it would recognize what the item is and then like regenerate it as like an animated thing. And it got me thinking, like, when I first started NARS, the tagline was like in the description on the OGs, if you have a look, it'll say like NAR 27, both skater and terrain. Because I was like, you know, it's interesting with nouns, people, places, and things, like they could actually be skating each other. And part of the original discussion I had with Blockbird when we were talking about it right at the beginning in this cafe in Sydney was like, yeah, you know, like maybe the skateboard head, he like throws his skateboard on the ground, skates it, and then like grinds, you know, an object from the nouns collection, or hops over a fire hydrant, you know, which is a iconic thing to do in skateboarding, ollieing over those sorts of obstacles and flip tricking and stuff. So I thought, like, how could we do that in such a way without all the headache of shipping, council approvals, regulations, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I thought maybe we could get some filters made, you know, if you're out in, say, you're skating or snowboarding, skiing, BMX, longboarding, anything, you could have your friend film you do your thing, and then as you're doing it, it incorporates a noun as an obstacle. So the image I shared was I found an image of someone doing an ollie over a fire hydrant with their friend filming, and then I just replaced the fire hydrant with the noun's fire hydrant head, and it looked really cool. And I imagined, like, what if it, a 3D augmented reality thing that looks even more like it's really there. And then you could have prizes to give away and do like a global expression session and make it a big social media campaign. And everyone would create content with these like augmented reality nouns as part of it. You know, maybe you see someone like grind down a shark or something. All sorts of weird stuff could happen. And then get them to submit the content on That's Gnarly as well as onto the hashtags on social media. And then as a community, we could curate that stuff. Or they could even just go to the hashtag only, and then as a community we could actually bring that content in and engage with these people as a community. and, you know, have like most creative, most nounish, like highest ollie, most flips, you know, like all sorts of things across all sports. And I think a big part of the inspiration for thinking of it this way was seeing like how Meth and Trizzy ski and how, or, well, how they, you know, both hit the snow on boards and skis. And it's like there's something about the way those guys are using their surroundings. Like, they're not just hitting the rails. Like, they're going and, like, hitting a tree and then, like, you know, going up the side of a building and, like, all these cool things. I was just thinking, like, yeah, imagine if that building just looked like a noun.
When I saw this, the first thing that stood out to me was, I remember the first competition that we ran for, it was a street dinner, and you literally, you had to go to maybe a place in your city, a street that you want to shred, and first nounify it, like put a noun sticker or something, make it visible, then shred the sport,
yeah.
Right? And then I think that was the submission as far as, like, I tried to find it, but it's an old post, so I know,
yeah. it might be like but 9 months ago. But just reminded me of that,
yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely the same thing. It's just like, you know, using that in a way more engaging way. I think it would be a great thing to get funded by Nouns. Like, you know, it's only a reasonably small ask if we were to offer some prizes for, you know, maybe 100 people could each get, you know, like a few hundred bucks each, or like have a grand prize of like $5,000 or $10,000 or something, really, you know, to grab people's attention, seeing if everyone else likes the idea.
I do like it, because one of the key things that stood out to me is us doing the daily drop here, we do realize the power of that scenario. I mean, we've seen this platform grow from a baby into a giant it is now. So anything that I want to say activates that snarly IRL, you know, this expression session, I believe is a great, great unlock, because we have seen that, you know, when the shredders come in to use the platform, they just fall in love with it. They just love it. So if we can get the platform in front of as many shredders as possible, that would be amazing. I think this is it's a big yes for me on my side. I see Big Shot is on. Yeah, it's clean. Well, what's your take on this?
I love gamification aspect of all of the places and things that Gammy's been talking about, because we've been working on adding AR stuff to everything, and this is like a really fun use case. But it's definitely like, there's definitely a lot more meat there than just videos for skating. Like, you could really do quite a bit of interesting content, I think, if we just kind of, you know, maybe just spend some time, get a couple of people that are interested in working on it, just kind of take some notes and figure out what's possible. Because, like, this is we were talking internally about doing like an AR random character generator, where you just kind of press a button and, like, you know, a random nounie shows up, and it's an AR animated piece. And what Gammy was just mentioning about the AI enabled app, I've never heard of that before, but it makes a lot of sense. I think, like, if we just, instead of everybody working independently, just trying to figure shit out on our own, if we had like a creative pod where maybe there was just like a weekly or a monthly meeting where everybody just like, hey, I saw this thing, maybe we could use it. You know, it might be like a good way to execute stuff like this fairly efficiently. So, you know, if I'm working on something, I don't know how to do it, you know, maybe, you know, somebody from, you know, maybe Brett knows some, you know, maybe Gammy knows somebody. It'll be just an easier way to execute stuff at. But I think the idea is awesome. I think it's super fun. Like, we just released some of our AR filters, and, like, you know, Benny, who works with me, he was out in the subway, you know, just like putting the characters in Manhattan, you know, and it was like, it's like super easy to use. It's like really fun. And each one of those filters has triggers. Like, if you use Adobe Aero, like, you just tap on the screen and you activate an animation. So, like, you could have, like, if say if somebody's doing a trick, you can add them in post too. You know, you can also, instead of just doing it while you're filming the trick, because you're like, then you're like futzing with the camera and trying to set everything, you could look at it a little bit differently, where you can just add the filters over the tricks later to create, you know, a more robust experience, because you're not like stuck trying to tape something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. There was something you said there that I've been thinking about and discussing with Brian from Nouns as well, around this idea of, like, you know, collaborating in this way where everyone's aware of each other. And
most people in this community are so nice and polite nobody wants to be like, oh, hey, you know what? This is not the right way to do it. You should do it like this, because nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings, because we're all fucking anonymous, right? You don't, like, you could be talking to somebody, you might be hurting their feelings, you know? It's like, I've been in rooms where people are talking and like you could hear them in their voice, because we don't have eye contact. We don't have, you know, physical connections. You know, we don't see what people are experiencing just with their eyes. We're just talking to a fucking JPEG. You know what I mean? And like, I was talking to somebody about like serious, serious, serious issues, right? And I was like, wow, this guy really knows his shit. It was an 18 year old kid.
Amazing.
Right? Like, you have no idea. So it's like,
you know what they say, everyone is a cat on the internet. So.
That's right. Absolutely.
With that, I guess it has been a good Naz Jam Sessions. We'll be back here next week with the Naz Jam Sessions. Thanks everyone for coming. We're entering into a chill weekend with the 9 o'clock here, the TNS.